Okay, post-show.
Post-show.
Just a question out of curiosity.
Yeah.
How does the pre-show, real show, post-show actually work?
There's two are you from a podcast and how they work at all?
I am not. Okay. We've had this discussion before. Yeah, I am like anti-Apple and everything, and not just to mention the podcast.
Podcasts
thing.
Aren't Apple.
I know, but it comes from the whole idea.
This thing, it just
misconception.
It's just that iPods were the most popular thing at the time.
You've explained it to me because I originally thought it was strictly
TiVo. Are you familiar with TiVo at all?
I don't really watch much TV.
Right, okay.
I'm a loser.
Kleenex.
What's that?
Kleenex. You familiar with
Kleenex? I wasn't going that way. I was going with like a season pass, like how it just gets. So.
Oh, okay.
So, I would never have done a beer show on the internet if people had to tune in when we were broadcasting to listen. Who, like five people will tune in at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night to listen to the show, right?
Okay.
Would have never considered that as something worth my time of doing. And then podcasts came out. The way podcasts work is we put the file up on the internet.
Yes.
And there's another index file. And people have programs that subscribe to that file. And anytime it's updated, it downloads the music, the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Puts it right on their mobile device.
It's basically a radio show you can listen to at all times.
Right, but it puts it right on their mobile device, right?
Yeah.
So you can, be out in the car, you can be out walking, running, whatever, and say, oh, I want to listen to the latest craft beer radio, and you play, right? Because it's already been downloaded to your podcast.
So it's only called podcast because iPods are the biggest thing.
Right.
I have an iPod. That is the only thing I personally think Apple has done correctly. Sorry, Greg. And sorry, Jeff. I am full PC, and I will not ashamed to admit it.
How's that Windows 8 working for you?
All right, fuck off. I stay with Windows 7. Hey, everyone makes mistakes.
That computer has XP on it.
Yeah, my main computer at
XP
home
was great.
I know, that's why
XP
that computer has XP
phenomenal
on it.
Phenomenal. Windows 7 was the first thing I liked since XP. A Vista? Disaster. It was horrible.
Yeah. Look, this is my portable computer. This is a computer I lug everywhere I go. This is an Apple. My main PC at home that I use for all my desktop duties is a Windows 7 machine. I am not one way or the other. I am platform agnostic as much as I am.
You're the diplomat.
Code agnostic. There is no difference between the two platforms anymore besides presentation layer stuff. That's what it all comes down to.
I'll give Apple that they're better on video editing. But when it comes to gaming, it's a PC.
At this point, it's just as easy to run the games on
us Unix geeks like Apple because Windows command prompt is just like the
see how well he does it.
You can't do anything.
Apple is just a narcissistic monopolizing company.
Yes, but you know
that's one of the things that actually pisses me off so much about them. Like my PDF will be like fucked up on my Windows, and I think it's because they purposely build it so then it doesn't work correctly for anything PC. That could be me going crazy and thinking of like stupid conspiracy theories.
I'm missing something.
It.
Your PDF.
I mean, not PDF. My Photoshop.
Okay.
It saves on PDFs, but like, I don't know.
PSDs? You mean?
Adobe makes Photoshop.
Yeah, Adobe makes Photoshop, and they try to make it compatible between both versions. I think you are crazy.
Cut that.
Okay.
Too bad.
We
too
don't,
late.
No, not the push. We don't edit that. That's okay. So, you mentioned earlier, I got you a new glass because I don't want you to rush your Fred. Take your time with your Fred. But you said you don't like hoppy beers.
Yeah.
Greg brought this one in, and I just, tore through a case of this stuff. This is from Fatheads. They have a brewery out in Cleveland, Fatheads Bar, down the south side.
This is
a Headhunter IPA. This thing is, if you don't like this, yes, you don't like hoppy beers. This thing's pretty amazing.
I like it.
I love it. I want
How many
to
people
take
did
it.
You say listen to the post show?
Post show.
All right. Yeah,
I haven't
sorry
looked in
for
a long
everyone
time
who listened to that post show.
I haven't looked in a long time for the post show stats.
My ignorant comments. See, this is why I usually don't speak when I don't know
on
things.
On the main show, you got between 2,500 and 3,000 people listening to you.
More sometimes.
That's why I didn't speak so much. I didn't want to sound like I...
It smells so good.
So this is an IPA from Fatheads.
I love Fatheads burgers.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
If Matt Cole. Come to Pittsburgh, eat Fatheads.
Matt Cole is the brewer. The brewery's over in Cleveland, unfortunately.
And it's funny because their only restaurant is in Pittsburgh.
No, they have the brew pub restaurant. There's a restaurant in Cleveland, too.
I did not know that. Yeah. I always thought that they stayed local and only local.
So they opened a brew pub restaurant slash brewery in Cleveland. And then last year they opened a production brewery. So they have a factory that's just brewery with where people can't go unless it's tour time.
Uh-huh.
And then they have the restaurant slash little brew pub. And then they have the restaurant in Pittsburgh.
My ignorance is just blowing up. That's, like, no.
It's okay. If you stop drawing such attention to it, no one would notice.
Yeah.
You'll notice.
There's nothing wrong with not knowing. The only thing is, the only bad thing is pretending to know when you don't. That's the bad thing.
I admit when I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had this discussion just on Wednesday about people just admitting when you don't know. When I don't know things, I will admit it. I do not know. Please enlighten me. Inform me.
All right. So pick up the IPA.
It's all stalling tactic. I don't want to drink the IPA.
So the aroma on this thing, it's hops. It's lots of hops. You're getting a little bit of resiny. You're getting a little bit of orange, citrusy, a little bit of...
I like the citrus. Like the Samuel Adams Summer Ale. I love the Samuel Adams Summer Ale. Despised a winter lager, though.
Hmm. Sure. I mean, they're very different. Summer ale. So you can get citrus from citrus things like orange peel, and you can get citrus from certain kinds of hops. He just made a really yucky face about it. He took a sip.
It was all right.
I was trying to set the stage and just go barging in and taking a sip before you're ready for it.
I'm sorry.
He's only 22 years old. So.
21.
21.
Yeah. 21. What month is it now?
May.
Yeah, May. So, since December. I'm a noob still.
So, when you taste this, what do you taste? Because the first thing that comes to my mind, the immediate thing that comes to mind is a lot of grapefruit rind.
It's very grapefruity. Touch of pineapple.
Yeah, I can taste the pineapple.
There's a lot of resiny bitterness that's going down, but sort of on the roof of your mouth, see if you can sort of try to isolate this and try to keep the resin down on your tongue and isolate what's going on the roof of your mouth. You should be getting lots of really sweet notes.
Yeah, I don't like the aftertaste.
It's bitter.
Yeah.
It goes for a while.
It's quite... It's bitter. It's not horrible. I've definitely had worse.
Mm-hmm.
Bush is by far worse.
One thing, you know, it's curious, you know...
PBR is by far worse.
I'm using Nick as a little bit of a science experience because you got a lot of those craft beer guys who... our theory is they're looking for something as different as possible as what their dad drank. You know, and an IPA like this, you really can't get much more different. Right?
Yeah, it's very very enjoyable on the tip of the tongue, but then it after 20 seconds, 10, 20 seconds, it leaves a taste that I don't like. The aftertaste of it is actually kind of ruining it for me.
Okay,
well,
I didn't say you're not wrong. Right, we just wanted you to try. No, we just wanted you. Well, you may be wrong a lot. You're not wrong about what you think about beer.
Let's debate Shakespeare. I only teased.
Let's.
You don't have to keep drinking it if you don't like it.
But the thing is, I do like it. I do like it until the last 20 seconds of it.
Okay, so we talked about this on the post show. We brought it up, or the pre-show. We brought it up. How
I'm excited.
Did the telephone change language? Because this is what I was thinking about this as I was looking at some text correspondence and realizing that the telephone must have been a world-shattering invention, even more so than we can even fathom. Yeah, we can imagine. The idea that communication between two people was now, I mean, not even just, I mean, the telegraph was sort of became before it, and you could send brief messages or even long messages if you had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that you could hear someone's voice, but you're still not really with them.
I do not know the exact date that the telephone at least became huge. Around what decade?
Yeah, I don't really know either. I mean, obviously, it,
I'm going to say like the 30s, 40s. But
I would say the 30s.
Yeah, 30s. That's what I'm thinking too.
There was a huge public works thing to wire America, right? Mm-hmm. To get everyone telephone. I think that was in the 30s. I would say like probably the 35.
Because the Telecommunications Act was...
Yeah, that was it, right? That was the
Telecommunications Act. Yeah, the Telecommunications Act was, I believe, 39.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. I did type a whole thesis paper on this, but it was very briefly mentioning the Telecommunications Act. However...
1934, Wikipedia says, I think, let's see.
At least there
was an act in a Telecommunications Act.
Check the Telecommunications Act, because I think that was...
Well, there's one in 1996. I don't think that's what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, no, that was the... that's the Telecommunication Act actually basically rewrote what it was supposed to do, and that's when Telecorp, Viacom, Disney, and Warner Brothers basically... News Corp... I said Telecorp. News Corp, Viacom, Disney, and Warner Brothers just basically became an oligopoly, which is such a fun word to say. Just say it. Oligopoly.
I like plutocrats better.
Oh, yeah? Well, here's a word for you. My mind is obnubilated by this alcohol. Mmm. That is a great word.
Break out some buffaloes.
Oh, what do you get into that? We'll do that. But first,
let's have this conversation. The biggest thing with phones, I think, phones are obviously a fantastic invention. However, I think the biggest problem is texting in the newer generation.
Before we get to texting, let's
jump back to the 1930s.
Hey, fuddy duddy.
Let me expand upon the premise. And the idea is that...
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you posed me the question earlier today. I misread the question. I thought it was some kind of riddle, and I was going to... But you were just asking the question. And I think most people are going to come to the very same realization where you don't have the visual cues.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're talking to someone on the other side of the curtain, and that changes how you have to communicate to the person.
Exactly. You're mm-hmm. able to hear people... And we're so good at reading body language that it's how we evolved. Mm-hmm. Now we have to forsake that and try to read people's
vocally
tonal language.
But I imagine
if you were to compare, I don't have evidence on this, so this is speculation. But I imagine if you were to compare just correspondence between people, just talking between people before and after the telephone revolution. People became more bombastic in their talking. People became more emotive when they were speaking because they didn't necessarily have to before, but they had to.
It's a bandwidth thing. It's a bandwidth thing. With you and me, the amount of bandwidth we have to communicate with each other is tremendous, right? We have the audio spectrum from 20 megahertz or 20 hertz up to 20,000 kilohertz. We have the visual spectrum from red to purple, right? So it's a lot of bandwidth.
It's not so much bandwidth. Can you see ultraviolet?
I don't think bandwidth. No, it is bandwidth, right? Because the amount of information that can be conveyed.
I think you're wrong because it is the amount of information, but it's not a question of bandwidth. It's the question of selectively eliminating various methods of information.
You're not distilling it down to the element. It is the amount of information that can be conveyed in a given period of time. And when you have audio and visual, it's more bandwidth. It comes down to the amount of bandwidth.
That's not the point. The point is that robbed of the ability... I mean, if people were to have the ability to talk to each other via video screens at the time, they would have, but they didn't. robbed of the ability, not because of a bandwidth concern, but simply because of that's the way the technology worked. You're robbed of the ability to take visual cues. And we grew up from our infancy as primates responding mostly to visual mm-hmm. cues. So now we have to act on auditory information alone. It's not really a question of bandwidth. It's a question of lack of information.
But let me ask you, let me play the other field right here. All right, you're saying that once we went to telephones, we had to portray our vocal persona and things, I don't know, the way we would say things a little bit more different. However, we were always a vocal creature. We were very vocally still, mm-hmm. and we've always been.
So how much are you using your hands, though?
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. The vocals are still the same. You're just not visualizing. You're not actually seeing the body language.
But when you're talking to Greg and you know he can't see your hands,
I would still
How do you change your vocal cues?
I feel like it would be the same exact
thing. My question is yeah, we feel like that because we're immersed in the culture in which that is the case. Would it have been different to somebody before the telephone? Would they have been able to use their just visual language to get the point across without being as bombastic?
So you're telling me they'll be monotone. Taking it to an extreme, but you're telling me they'll be monotone.
I'm telling you that it would be a lot like similar cultures where tone is not as nearly as large, doesn't play nearly the role that it does. Like English, for example, in Japanese, tone is not big, but it's just the style of words you're using. So in Japanese, there's a roughneck terminology that you'd use if you're angry versus pleasant terminology versus formal terminology. But
they're a very vocal civilization. I mean, I would assume it's not too different from Chinese because they're the same exact thing where just like raising your pitch, your voice into a certain pitch can create a whole different word.
But more about it is what type of – The word can be like a rude version of that word or a non-rude version of that word.
Well, we have that in English that we use in either like direct contact with someone or over the phone.
It's much more the difference is hard to describe, especially since I don't really know the language. I just had it described to me this way, so I can't give you a full dissertation on exactly how it works, but. It's a factor, and there are places where there's less bombastic nature to tone, and I think that in a place where in a society that came before there was, especially when we see each other, we can also respond to visual cues like from the eyes. I mean, the eyes tell such a lot about us, where we're looking.
But I think we're so adapted to that, we understand.
Yeah, we are so adapted to that.
Things, but the phone doesn't take away from that.
But we're not well adapted to the phone.
I think we're very well adapted to the phone nowadays. At least speaking, texting, depending on generations. But talking about the phone,
I'm going to go back to bandwidth here for a quick second because. Do you feel you can communicate better on a landline than you can on a cell phone?
No.
I don't think so. Any problem, especially now with new, maybe like 10 years
ago. I don't know.
Maybe like 10 years ago, yeah, but absolutely nowadays.
No, they're exactly the same to me.
They're exactly the same now, at least. Before we're
You think the quality of service is yes. equal?
Yes. Yeah, I think even sometimes
I've had conversations with you where shit's been dropping out and I can't hear you when we're on cell phones
that's
and shit.
That's a
quality of servicing. You can't communicate as well.
It's a minor technical limitation. The bandwidth issue doesn't even come into play. Your bandwidth issue is a non-starter. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. Like, if this was 10 years ago, I would argue with you and say yes because calls would drop all the time. I mean, especially if you had more local companies like Cricket and stuff like that, your call quality was awful. However, nowadays, I think the cell phones have become even more superior than the landlines. I mean, landlines are becoming extinct.
Oh, I don't have a landline. I haven't had one for a long time, but I've also learned to accept pretty shitty audio quality on my voice communications.
See, my phone, my Verizon and my phone, I've never had any
imagine
problem
when,
with voice communication.
When telephone started, I'm sure the audio quality was pretty shitty too. We grew up in the 70s past then, where all those problems are already fixed. So you're already comparing a different time
so,
anyway.
So yeah. I found
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're beyond that.
I found an awesome graph here of adoption of technologies. And like, they show when lines cross and whatnot.
Okay.
So it starts at 1900, goes to 2005. In 1900, did more people have telephone or cars?
1900? Yeah, probably cars.
No, telephone.
Wow.
5% of the population had telephone, and well less than 1% had cars in 1900.
Hmm.
In 1900, did more people have electricity or telephone?
I'm going to go by telephone just because the...
Yeah, 5% and well less than 1% had electricity in 1900. So, okay, 1915... I'm trying to figure out how to make this great radio and quiz you guys.
I'm going to guess all the answers are going to be telephone for the rest of the...
No, it's not all telephone. At about 1920, electricity passes telephone and you know, gets up. Okay, at what point does electricity hit 100%?
At what point does electricity hit 100%?
Like, or 99.99%.
Like probably not until
1920.
No, I would say probably not until the 70s. Because there's a lot of stuff that's going to go on for getting these really rural areas.
1958-ish.
Yeah, okay. So
I just took a wild guess.
Okay, so when do more people have radios than stoves?
1960s, late 50s.
1927.
Holy shit, I was way off. I'm just taking...
Wow. Way before the transistor, people.
When do more people have cars than telephones?
I'm not even going to guess. You're up, Greg.
More people have cars than telephones. I'm going to say the 40s.
1922.
Wow.
However, actually, telephones... repass cars at about 46 and then stay above cars. So it kind of, they double dip, you know, they cross twice. So yeah, telephones are higher than cars until about 22, and then cars take a big advantage, and phones actually drop. Phones drop during the Depression. People give up their phones during the Depression. People give up their cars too, but cars come back faster than phones. And then about 46, phones stay slightly above cars.
I read a great book about the Great Depression called The Worst Hard Times. Excellent read if you ever get a chance to read it.
Some people get electricity. Radio doesn't dip during the Great Depression. Radio is the one thing people don't give up in this graph. Other things, refrigeration's on here. Refrigeration doesn't start until... the mid-20s, and, you know, it takes off like a rocket. Let's see. In 1930, less than 10% of people have refrigeration. In 1945, 55% people, 56% people have refrigeration.
We're from phones to refrigeration.
Okay. Yeah, let's jump back to the phones topic, unless you've got other...
There's all kinds of things. Okay.
What's this? Is this
when
scholarly?
Does...
Yeah, what's this from?
It's... Where's this come from? It's hosted on Amazon's cloud.
Amazon's cloud?
That's like, it's from Wikipedia.
That's what I was waiting for. Wikipedia.
let's see here. What else is fascinating?
Well, where did Wikipedia get this source? Wikipedia is actually a very useful tool if
for
you know
sources.
If you know how to find
it's
the correct sources.
It's great for
sources.
Finding primary sources.
Mm-hmm. It's bad to ever, never, ever cite it.
The war, World War II, had a big drop on autos. But not these other technologies, not refrigeration.
Not the steel that are going to make
not
ships.
Not stoves, not radio, not electricity, but autos dropped big during the war.
You really don't want to talk about the phones thing anymore, do you?
I'm sorry. Go back to the phones. I think this is pretty fascinating.
Okay, so I want to get the cellular.
Yeah, the question that the phone thing really leads to, and you were sort of jumping ahead, Nick, was we're noticing what seems to be a decline in the quality of English or...
Well, the thing, it's been a downward spiral since phones, because you no longer needed to write letters. You didn't have to mail out a letter to someone anymore. You can just call them up and be like, all right, hit 0 on the phone, operator, please send me to this person.
Okay.
And, I mean, that's obviously going back to the start of it all. However, now I think it's become a whole different ball field. To where, I mean, the decline of literate. I mean, everyone in America, for the most part, is literate. I don't know the percentages of actual illiteracy. I know it's low, but I don't know the actual percentage, so I will not say it. But for the most part, texting has destroyed literacy in America. I mean, I'm not just America, but I'm sure all over the world. But you add in things of abbreviation, things of comma misplacing, not even actually completing words. Like, U, they just put the letter U.
Now, okay, I let you go on your rant, but it's a familiar one, so I'm sure everyone's familiar with it because it's a rant everyone's had. I recognize that it has changed a lot of the way people communicate, but the idea that it's destroyed literacy, I don't recognize that. In fact, I would say that's something that we either don't have the information or have very much information that it's not the case with destroying literacy. In fact, it's helping people read more than ever. It's just they're reading in a way that looks a lot different than what we're used to, and we rebel against that. But this is a misunderstanding of evolution thing all over again. We're treating it with disgust because it's something that we're not used to. But evolution doesn't care about whether people think of it as good or bad. It cares about whether it's useful and whether it works.
No, I care about the fact that when someone sends me your... And they're meaning, like, you are, but they put YOUR instead of YOUR. That drives me insane.
Yeah, I understand.
They're not understanding. Understand. And then the best part, the worst part about it is that they put onto even formal papers and formal essays and thesis and stuff like that. And they're putting this incorrectly. And there's so many different miscommunications with understanding. A comma is supposed to be there for a specific reason, to give you a pause, to give you an understanding of where you are, to collect yourself. And if it's not there, people have sent me paragraphs of text messages that I have to reread 2 or 3 times before I actually understand it, because it's missing a colon or something, or along the lines of a comma, for the most common mistakes.
I understand your offense at seeing these things that are absolutely egregious. I agree. However, let me take you on a different perspective. Let me take you back.
You have the floor.
Back 500, 600, 1,000, 2,000 years ago. People were speaking, for the most part, Latin.
Mm-hmm.
There became regional dialects of Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Things that people would spread, and their language would change. It would change into something different than it was before. What do we eventually have now? We have the Romance languages. We have French. We have Spanish. We got from the Nordic. We got like Germanic influences coming in. So then we get English. Disgusting bastardizations of Latin that a Latin purist would feel the worst possible things towards it. It doesn't matter what the Latin purist feels. Evolution happens. The language has evolved. We're witnessing the language evolving at a pace unlike things that we've seen before, but we're witnessing it. The language is evolving. And it's just something we have to deal with. And whether or not it disgusts you, it's not going to change. And the pace is only going to get faster.
So you agree with the removal of actual rules in the English language to create an easier sense or an easier flow of reading and speaking? Because in all honesty, there are people out there that I've spoken to and I have trouble understanding what they're even saying, because it's, they're not putting the adjectives, they're not putting the verbs, they're not putting the nouns that should be there.
Well, let me put it this way. You asked me if I agree with it. I don't agree with it. I just recognize that it's happening and there's nothing I can do about it. It's not a question of whether I think it's good or bad. Obviously, I would rather people use language in the way that makes it more easier for me to understand what they're saying. That's the whole point of language. But I also recognize that these things constantly evolve. These things change. And to fight against the most basic principle of the universe, the most basic principle that we've been able to serve the universe, which is that things change, to fight that is a battle that you're always going to lose. It's a bad test.
He was just handed cheese. He got excited.
Sisyphean task.
Well, no, I disagree with that.
Okay.
We should take a stand to correct it. If it's becoming a nuisance and a problem of understanding and communication, then there is a problem within society. If you do not understand, if you cannot communicate with others around you, it does not flow. It does not gel. It doesn't work. And there are reasons why people have created such a substantial reasoning for why it is. Why shall there be a comma before certain uses of but? Sometimes but doesn't have commas. Sometimes it does. Why shall, even for a more archaic way of saying, for I, sometimes there's a comma before the for and other times there aren't. It's just like there's reason for placing markers.
You realize that you're arguing this based on English, which is one of the most fucked up, retarded languages.
I love the English language.
Because
the English
language is so full of non-logical slang. Rules, completely ridiculous ways in which things are presented.
You can even argue the French language.
Well, the French has a
better... They are very, very particular about keeping their French language pure.
Mm-hmm.
To where, forgive me if I'm wrong, but my French professor has mentioned that they even passed a law to where no other languages were allowed to be spoken in their country on national television to try and prevent the keeping a pure language. Because the French language is dying, just like most languages are. I mean, like the Romantic languages, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's just like, however, they understand that there's a reason for these languages. I understand different languages and I understand the different cultures behind them. But even the Chinese, if you go into something along those, or any of the Asian descendants of languages, they have specific rules that they follow and they oblige by.
What I'm saying is that your disgust,
while noted... How do you like the cheese?
It's delicious, thank you.
Your disgust, while noted, at the way that language is changing and evolving, is something that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, is just going to be it's going to be standard the way people communicate.
I'd rather be that... Oh. Thank you very much.
Things,
merci beaucoup.
Things change, and they change faster than we realize.
Oh, shit.
And what happens is that people get into a tizzy about it because.
Don't allow me to get into a tizzy.
That's what people like to do. That's what people want to do because nobody likes change. We fight against the constants. We fight against what the universe has in store for us.
No, I mean. I don't want to get into it anymore because I'm just going to go off ranting more because
I'm not saying I'm even, you know, telling you that you're right to be disgusted by this stuff, because yeah, it disgusts me too. When people use a lot as one word, it bugs the shit out of me. I can't take it sometimes. I have to go.
I get angry.
So if
a
someone
lot,
will yeah. tell you that there's a faster universal speed than the speed of light, and that's just the way people are starting to view, like the
neutrino thing. No,
the neutrino thing, where some physicists are starting to say, however, the universal speed of light as being the max speed.
They found the error in that, by the way.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then. But either way. All right.
Yeah. See, this
diluted my entire argument, because I fully believe that the universal speed is the speed of light. However, I was just trying to prove another point. But way to go, Jeff. Thank you.
I was just trying to keep you head you off from spending 15 minutes bitching about.
Well, no, I wasn't going to bitch about it. I was just going to bitch and say that you're going to tell me that they're going to try and argue, saying that we should change it because it's the way that we evolve to it.
Well, I'm saying there's a huge difference between scientific realizations,
what is correct,
the way you come about something, you know, through mathematical realizations and experimentation, and you come back to something that is a fundamental truth about the way the universe operates versus how a language evolves.
But if the language is working the way it should, and the language is correct the way it should, and this goes for any language, of the Spanish, the Germanic, to the even the the Chinese, and so on and so forth.
Language is working as it should, then. I would make that argument absolutely completely. What's the purpose of a language? The purpose of a language is for us
to be able to communicate with
to communicate our exact ideas completely.
So therefore, if I cannot even read the text messages coming from someone, which I have to read multiple times, and sometimes I don't even understand what the hell they're saying, and I have to send back to them and be like, yo, rephrase this. And it shows that there is a flaw in the evolution that you're trying to tell me.
No, it shows
of language.
It shows that there's a flaw in language in general. There's only one language that's precise, and that's mathematics. Like you can say music or something like that, but that's a language that is precise. The languages like English and Spanish and Japanese, these are imprecise ways in which we try to, you know, communicate with each other. So there's always, so since none of them are perfect, since none of them are perfected, they're always going to be constantly evolving to fit a different space, to fit not what we want. It's not about what we want or what we desire. It's about what is most successful. They're going to constantly evolve to fit into what is most successful.
So ignorance.
That's the way evolution works.
So
if ignorance is
successful, and ignorance is successful, rather than the
evolution cares not whether you like it or not. It cares not about good or evil. It cares about success.
Whatever. I'm pissed off now.
This is the hardest fact that the universe has to give you, which is that
now they found a flaw in neutrino. I want to know what this is.
I'll get into it. Hold on a second. Right. But the hardest fact, the reason why people cling to conspiracy theories and other stuff, is that the hardest fact to get into your head is that there is no goal. There is nobody controlling it. It's all random. It is rudderless. I'm speaking of the universe and everything else.
Which is just like
the world. This is the hardest fact to get into your head, but once you do, it makes you look at everything slightly differently.
There was a perfect example of the accidental and just its randomness of it. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine earlier, and we were talking about different things of evolution and stuff like that. And the easiest way I broke it down to him was just the fact that it all happens by pure luck and pure accident, that like whenever certain microbes and certain things split off to each other, it was eventually a faulty one that eventually just came back from that. It's an easy way to explain it.
Yeah, but you know, never use the word accident, because it's not about accident. It's about, again, it's about what is successful And that's not an accident.
Well, yeah, but it eventually
tapered off.
You're
talking about the mutations.
Yeah,
mutations
I'm talking about the mutations,
you know,
of it.
There's
everything.
Not a planned, I'm going to make a better thumb. It just, once in a while, a better thumb happens.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was trying to get at. Sorry. Never end in a preposition.
See these rules?
That's what I was trying to show him.
You're from Pittsburgh. You're allowed to say...
I have... Because of all my vocal backgrounding that I had to do, I had to eliminate my Pittsburghese. And you know how difficult that was? Because I would say Jaggerbush and downtown like nobody's business. Now I have to go downtown.
But get at, that's a Pittsburgh thing, ending in the preposition, you know? You know, get at. And what else is there? There's several.
There's all the tons of Pittsburghese.
But the ending in a preposition is a very Pittsburgh thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know that one, ending in a preposition. The most I try my hardest not to end in anything.
When Jeff used a positive, and he sometimes does this, he uses a and you're not the only one, but I've noticed you using it sometimes as a positive version of the word anymore. So instead of saying, I don't go there anymore, which would be negative anymore, positive, we were like, anymore they make stouts. That's the wrong way to use anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's not proper.
I've never used it like that.
It's become a part of the language, and now it's become accepted because that's the way languages evolve.
They added to the dictionary, I believe it was a year ago or 2 years ago, muffin top, and they changed it to where it was actually like folds of fat hanging over your jeans.
You never heard that term before?
Well, yeah, I've heard it 1,000 times, but it's just like, that's another, they keep adding things to the dictionary.
Well, yeah, because that's how dictionaries work.
And they're
work.
Changing
well, dictionary,
words to begin with. Ain't, it's been used since we came to America.
But the dictionary is a reflection of how language is used, not how it's supposed to be used.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the same kind of thing. Religion... You know, like, they stopped doing Catholic masses only in Latin, you know, because people don't speak Latin, you know?
Anymore. I'm pretty decent with that one.
How many times have you know, I complained, you complained, somebody complained about irregardless? Irregardless is not a word. It is a word. People become using it and it's become part of
it. It means something.
Yeah, it means something now. Even it means the same thing as regardless. So there's
regardless.
So there's no reason to say irregardless. I mean, you're confusing regardless and irrespective, I think, and that's how it came about. But
you're so ignorant.
Drives me insane is when people use ignorant in the wrong context.
Those people from Ambridge normally.
You're so ignorant. No, I'm not ignorant. I'm rude. Hey. I am being rude to you. I'm not being ignorant.
The ignorant as rude, I swear, originates from like the steel mills, you know, like Ambridge and you know, Beaver County type thing.
I have a really, really funny story about the ignorance, if I may. May I?
You
may.
No, you're not allowed.
All right.
we don't go on tangents
here. I work
here.
At a pizza shop in the South Hills. And I was probably 18 at the time. I was just graduating high school, and it's a little foggy right now, so forgive me if it takes a little while to spell. It shouldn't take more than a couple minutes. I was on the phone with a customer, and the customer was just instantly like, okay, I want this, I want that, and I want this.
By the way, when he was 18, 3 years ago.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever. It was right when I was out of high school is what I'm trying to...
You can't stop harping on that, can you?
I'm sorry.
He's the one who's jealous of your he's the one who's
and
casting...
He's jealous of my youth gone wild.
Yeah, he's casting some sort of spell that's going to take youth away from you.
There you go, Sebastian Bach. I put a nice little thing in there. But anyways, I was on the phone with her, and not to mention her horribly spoken... English, as I stare at you, Greg, for the evolution that you say. However, I was on the phone with her, and she said she wanted three different things. I cannot recall what those three things were. However, I remember I told her the total, and I was like, all right, your total was so-and-so. And she go, why dat? That's all I remember is why dat. And I said, well, you see, ma'am, your half a hoagie is $4, your something is $2, and so on and so forth. And she goes, well, it says here that your half a, it says here that it's $3.50. And I go, $3.50, that's before tax. I was like, it's $4 after tax. Once your tax comes in, it goes up. And she goes, well, no, it says $3.50. And I'm just like, do you not? I was like, it's called taxes. I was like, you've lived in Pennsylvania. You lived in the United States. It's called taxes. And all I said, though, was it's called taxes. I'm exaggerating the story a little bit. But all I said was it's called taxes. And she go, why are you so ignorant? And I said, I am not being ignorant. I am being rude. I was like, there is a difference. And I was like, do you want the food or do you not? And she goes, yeah, I want it. And I was like, all right, we'll see you here in 15 minutes. And I hung up on her. Her boyfriend came in. He was a really nice guy. I mean, he was really nice. She was one to deal with, but he was very nice.
Why are you being so ignorant?
Yeah, why are you being so ignorant? Because my boss yelled at me. He goes, why would you say that? I was like, she pissed me off. I mean, I'm not being ignorant. I'm being rude to you. I mean, you should understand taxes, especially when our menu says $3.50 plus tax.
If I may,
Pittsburgh, ignorant means obnoxious.
Yeah.
So,
I'm known for that.
I mean, if it may, what she was trying to do is she was trying to get you to negotiate. She was trying to barter you down on the price.
Yeah. Well, not to mention that she didn't say ignorant. She said ignorant.
Yeah.
Which pisses me off even more because there are so many Pittsburghese and so many people outside of Pittsburgh who say ignorant. It's not ignorant. It is ignorant. God damn, you pissed me off, Greg.
I thought it was ignorant. 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 I-G-N-E-R-T. Ignorant.
Well, this comes from the guy who says should have or could have. Instead of saying should have or could have, you say should have and could have. Even should have, could have, would have.
You say water, so fuck you.
I say,
what do you say?
Water.
Water, because...
Water.
Water.
Water. That's an accent thing from where I grew
coffee.
Up. That's not using... That's not using the incorrect term.
It's the same.
There's not much difference between accent in.
No, but you write
everybody.
You
I've
and I
grown
spell
up
water
with,
the same.
Yes, but everyone I've grown up around says should have.
But you actually type it out as should of instead of should have, which is what it actually is.
There's something that also Pittsburghese.
I mean,
should have
is a proper conjunct. Should with posture of VE. That should have is fine, but it's should and have, not should and of.
Yeah, but should have.
Yeah.
There's something else that Pittsburgh.
I bet you a high school student could put should have, you know, in a Pittsburgh area school, put should have, and it wouldn't get marked down.
If you're using the apostrophe, right? If you're using
should of, I bet you could use should of and not get marked down. In,
well.
It's
can't make the argument. Language is evolving.
There you go. We need to smack the hoe down and tell her, no, you're going to do it the correct way.
Yeah, I'm going to go up and do my warsh.
My family is horrible with Pittsburgh. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, we're going up to Mount Washington. Put down the Woosher. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, where are you going? I'm going down to Southside. Oh, God damn it. It's the South Side.
Just embrace it. I wish I could do a better
I say soda, game. Too.
I wish I could do a better Mill Hunky accent. I do use soda instead of pop.
I use soda. That's all I'll say.
Well, I learned soda.
Because the first time
but no, here it's pop.
Yeah, it's here.
I know.
It's pop.
I know.
The first time I went out of...
I didn't notice
like,
here. I've been here 15 years or whatever. Come
like
on.
When I was probably 13 or something like that, and it was like the first time I went out of state by myself with like my school and stuff like that. We went to... we were in Jersey. And my one friend goes, oh, what kind of pop y'all got? Or what kind of popians got? And this woman just looks at him and goes, what? He goes, what kind of popians got? What? And I'm just like, soda. It's soda. Just tell her. He wants to know what kind of soda do you have. Oh, I kind of heard pop before, but I didn't know. And I was like, from there on, I said soda. I changed my pop to soda because I realized everyone in the world says soda.
Yeah. Unless you're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Then it's Coke. What kind of Coke do you want?
Well, there's some places. There's some
what
places.
What kind of Coke do you want?
Yeah,
Pepsi.
That's actually how it works.
There's some places that are even just like cola, where they'll say they're called a cola, a little bit out more Midwest. certain places out there will say what kind of cola
out,
you got.
Out there in Midwest.
Yeah, I still have a little bit of my Pittsburgh. Especially when I say my last name, I say Jones.
We all pick up things.
Jones.
Yeah, I hold out my O's and it's horrible. Yeah, I'm Nick Jones.
Actually, that's perfect. That's a great accent. Nick Jones.
Nick Jones.
You see Sidney Crosby the other night score a hat trick in that?
I know.
He's going back into it.
Yeah,
so where are you from? What part of town?
I'm from South Hills.
What part?
Baldwin, specifically.
Oh, okay, yeah. So
it's right by Carrick and Brentwood.
You're close enough into the city that, you know, Lebanon person would not talk that way.
I'm 15227. I'm city zip code.
227?
Yeah.
227.
This is like when you hear people talk about the different dialects that are the different sort of regional dialects in, like, England. You can tell whether the person
you can
from
tell
the
someone
north
from Wales or London or the north. Yeah, I can tell. I had a friend, English Dan. We called him, such a clever name, English Dan.
There is a great book, and unfortunately you can't get it free on the internets or anything, but the Dictionary of American Regional English has all kinds of slang, and doctors use it all the time, right? Because I fell into a jagger bush. You know, and a doctor who was trained in Chicago would not know
what a jagger bush is.
You know, jagger bush. So there's a dictionary of... It's called DARE, the Dictionary of American Regional English, and it has all these great things. And I was listening to an interview with a person, they just revised it for so many years, and they were talking about all different places, but they spent a fair amount of time in Western Pennsylvania. You know, we got a lot.
Chip Tam's a Pittsburgh thing, because it's Dice Tam. Dice Tam everywhere else, isn't it?
It doesn't exist most places.
Yeah, no, most
chips that are sliced that thin, it doesn't... You couldn't get a deli person in New York to slice your ham appropriately,
isn't it? No, diced is put into squares.
Yeah.
You could not get a deli worker in New York to make your ham properly no matter what words you used.
I've never asked for it anywhere else besides Pittsburgh. I mean, no matter what words you used,
they would see that as a not suitable method of slicing ham.
I remember one of the first time I was here, I went to you know, the produce aisle or whatever the deli aisle, and I asked for something, and they said, "Do you want it sliced or chipped?" I was like, "Chipped?" Just sliced. I don't even know what chipped is. Yeah, chipped is when it's incredibly thin slices.
It's literally
chipped off the ham.
Yeah.
It's just
right. It's not ovals, right? It's parts of the oval. It's so thin that you can't make a whole slice. It's great for beef barbecue or ham barbecue.
It's great. Chipped ham is awesome. It's nice.
Lots of surface area.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it spoils fast.
What other? They're gum band. Mm-hmm. I never say it. I always say rubber band, but gum band. I know that goes to other cities, but I know that's very big in Pittsburgh.
It's not just the ways people
don't
know. I
haven't heard gum band very often in my 15 years here.
Thank you for saying often, not often.
Yeah, the T is silent.
I was raised saying often.
I always yell at people. It is often. I even yelled at my English professor for my English 102 because she said often. And eventually we got onto a talk about people like misusing the word whom, mm-hmm. like to whom this may concern, so on and so forth. And I was just like, yeah, and
you,
often is supposed to have this.
And you often misuse often.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, you often use Miss Yavin. And she got so pissed off. Anyway, sorry.
There are two accepted pronunciations.
So you should go to your school library and see if they have the Dictionary of American Regional English, because you'd have a lot of fun looking at that.
Oh, I probably would. I'm sure YSU probably does. If not, CCAC probably does too. CCAC is actually a very respected community college.
I spent three semesters there, Nat.
Yeah, I really appreciated CCAC, but their financial aid and like student registration, man, they suck. Anyways, Greg, back to
it was gum band. I think I haven't heard that very often, and I think probably the reason why is because people don't use rubber bands very often anymore. It's not something that
I use rubber bands all the time.
Really?
I do. I have a whole bag actually in my desk of rubber bands because I find uses for rubber bands all over the place, either entertainment actual uses of, like, sticking, like, collecting a bundle of things and putting them together. Like, I find rubber... I actually am using two rubber bands to hold up my curtains right now because I... The one thing broke on the one side to actually, like, where you pull the curtains off to the side, so I just bundle them up in a rubber band. It's like duct tape for rednecks.
But see, if you're using...
rubber bands are...
Duct tape is duct tape for rednecks.
Here's my issue. If you're using it like duct tape for rednecks, then they're not rubber bands, they're gum bands.
Alright, yeah. Gum bands are a perfect solution for Pittsburgh people.
Exactly.
You need a problem, you just stick a gum band on it. Forget about duct taping that fender bender. Take a rubber band or gum band and stick it to it.
No, duct tape is unique because there is no such thing as duct tape for a neck. There is just duct tape. And it transcends all boundaries and all wealth classes. Duct tape is useful in any circumstance. The only thing it's not good at is ducks. It's just not. It's not good for sealing.
It's
ducks.
Not. It's not good about putting the feathers back on ducks.
Well, those kind of ducks do, but like it's not. It's not good for sealing ducks. It's not good at that.
Ducking systems.
No, no, they use different tape for ducks.
Yeah.
Okay, so when did the microwave
surpass
the dishwasher?
Oh God, we're back to this.
What year did the microwave surpass the dishwasher?
40s.
Available really in the 70s.
So what year?
So okay,
I took a decade. I took a decade. 48.
I'm gonna say probably 90s.
It was 84 to 85, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
When was the microwave?
But the microwave took off like 70s, like a rocket.
70s.
It was first introduced. Yeah, I would say 71 or
Holy
so.
Holy shit, I sound like a dumbass. Well, I just started spitting out what
I would have said the microwave was... I probably would have pegged it at somewhere between 58 and 63, somewhere in there.
See, as soon as he started ranting off things about this chart again, I was like, oh great, we've been wrong about everything. I might as well go back to the early.
Well, no, it's just kind of like, I just wanted to
see...
Well,
the microwave is based off of a magnetron, which is essentially comes from radar. And so they had to figure out a way to miniaturize...
I just remember seeing... I thought I remembered seeing videos of... baby boom housewives cooking in like 60s era kitchens with microwaves, but obviously not. So
I think that was always the plan. I mean, you'd have a Jetson style, you know, beep beep beep, and it would
Jetsons
come out. Yeah.
When did the clothes dryer surpass the clothes washer?
So you asked a question about neutrinos.
Never. There's still more people with clothes washers than clothes dryers.
I want to discuss this whole thing about, because I'm a big fan of there's a blog. Well, it's a YouTube channel called, forgive me if I pronounce it wrong, I always do, Veritasium.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct, Veritasium? Yep. Yeah, the guy, he's awesome in what he does. And I always peruse his videos multiple times.
Well, check out 60 Symbols. They have the answer to this, too. It's another YouTube channel.
And he mentioned before, and he just, like, he completely, at least is what I got, he didn't agree with the whole fact of the universal speed of light being broken, because it will be, the universal speed is the speed of light.
Yeah.
However, you said they completely disproved
that? Yeah, no, I mean, the reason why... It gets into relativity as to why that you can't go faster than that. But relativity is relatively easy to understand. To see special relativity is general relativity. You need to take a graduate level course to understand that. Special relativity, you can understand in a couple hours and some trigonometry. It's all it takes. But, so what was going on was, all right, so the LHC is producing, its main experiment is producing these two proton beams.
Mm-hmm.
Fire radiation.
Yes. In opposite directions,
One of the offshoots
nearly
of that
the speed of light,
is that so when they do beam dumps, when they're done with the beam, they dump it into a target, which is basically a big block of cement. As it hits the cement, the protons undergo nuclear reactions and send off neutrinos, like a laser. Now this goes through the Earth to another facility in Italy. Where they are then using different types of detectors to detect neutrino events. Now, since neutrinos although like trillions upon trillions upon trillions are hitting, are coming across, maybe they'll get like 20 of them. That's how hard it is to get neutrinos. They're very weakly interacting. They only interact through the weak force, but they have a very low cross-section anyway. So what was happening was they would detect that there was a burst. They know the speed, or they know how far they are away, how far these two places are from each other, very precisely.
Okay.
And they tried to synchronize their clocks extremely well. And they knew then what a theoretical beam of light from one point to the other, what something would take going at speed C to get from point A to point B would take. And they were measuring these neutrinos arriving roughly 60 nanoseconds before...
There's light, yeah, okay.
But before a light beam would take that.
Yeah, okay.
So...
Because I didn't, honestly, I didn't hear anything of this until Veritasium, where he mentioned it, and he was just like, most physics professors just kind of go, no. You know, so that's the only time I actually heard of it.
The only reason why it was ever even taken seriously was because it was two well-respected institutions that held on to this for 2 years while they had people, you know, of the highest pedigree check and recheck their equipment and check every sort of methodology they were doing.
And it also takes so long to reshoot, too. They even retested, didn't it?
Well, no, because it was constantly happening. Okay. They were constantly getting this bias.
Okay.
But they wanted to make sure that all their experimental methodologies were good, and they did, and they reinforced it, and it was a very thorough, well-argued paper, and then their conclusion was not these neutrinos are traveling faster than light. Their conclusion was, we don't know what's happening. Either something very, very physically strange is happening, or there's something wrong with our experiment. Tell us what it is.
Okay.
And ultimately what happened is they found that there was a wire, a fiber optic wire, and a connection that was poorly maintained or something that was causing a 60 nanosecond displacement.
Okay. So it's human error, ultimately?
Ultimately, it falls down to mechanical error.
Mechanical error, but which would eventually go back to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing you hear about. Oh, they couldn't find a wire, but these are incredibly complex, huge experiments with lots and lots of wires. But it's one of those things that these things happen. But yeah, the speed of light. We think the speed of light, or we think C is the fastest speed for very, very, very good reasons. And it's going to take a lot more to overturn that an anomalous reading from one experiment.
All right. Thank you.
I was just looking at the wiki page. Jumping back to the Pittsburgh thing real quick. I think you'll find this fascinating. I feel like I'm the third wheel here tonight. But there were... Discourse and Intonation, talk about Pittsburgh English, and I think you'll find this interesting. Well, first they talk about anat, right? And it means, and along with other stuff, you know, things like that. But I like where it goes back to Glasgow, Scotland, something like, I know this isn't stated as clearly as it might be, but you know what I mean. That's what anat means.
Well, you know what? You know what's a similar thing to that? Yada. Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. Seinfeld.
Here's an interesting one.
What'd you do in the yada yada?
Try to think if you've ever encountered this one. Falling intonation at the end of a question. So it would be something along the lines of, are you painting the garage?
Okay.
And that would be further explanation. Speakers who use an intonation pattern that do not do so categorically, but instead also may end questions with a, speakers typically use a falling pitch for questions they already know the answer to. So keep an ear out for that one. If you hear a Pittsburgher asking a question with a falling intonation.
What about vocal fry?
But is that forgive me if I misunderstood.
Do you know vocal fry?
I do not.
Just Jeff's doing it right now.
Okay. Yeah. But forgive me if I'm misinterpreting what you just told me. But is that kind of just like a rhetorical question?
Yeah, I think so.
That it's just a different way of interpreting a rhetorical question. But apparently, are you painting that garage as they're painting it? I mean, is that kind of like
maybe it does tie into like sarcasm or something.
Like sarcasm, right? Like, oh yeah, you're painting that garage or something. Huh. I don't know.
Maybe it isn't tied to Pittsburghese.
Because that's kind of very rhetorical. If I'm seeing you painting a garage, I'm going to be like, oh, you're painting that garage. Like, okay. I mean, it's stupid, but you know... you know what I mean?
That reminds me of...
There's also the need, Yen's want, follow? Or like, plus past participle, right? The car needs washed. The cat wants petted. Baby's, well, like, cuddled.
That's what I was trying... I couldn't remember exactly. There's something like where I gotta mow the lawn, or I have to...
The lawn needs mowed.
Yeah, the lawn... Yeah, that I couldn't remember what it was. The lawn needs mowed instead of, like, I need to cut
grass the lawn. Needs cut, yeah, actually. Not, needs you cut. Know, Pittsburghers don't say lawn. The grass needs cut.
Yeah, grass needs cut. That's it. Thank you. I've been trying for like 15 minutes while arguing with you over ridiculous stuff and redonkulous stuff, and I couldn't remember.
Grass needs cut.
It's a word now.
Redonkulous.
Yep, the grass needs cut.
Yeah, grass needs cut instead of just, hey.
Well, you know what we haven't done yet? Is we haven't done our
I'm going to edit Wikipedia right now. I'm going to add the grass needs cut to this. Seriously, that's better than the babies like cuddled. Who?
I'd never heard that one. Yeah, grass needs cut is of pure Pittsburghese, and I only know that because I'm friends with a guy from Cleveland, and he always makes fun of Pittsburgh people when they say, "Yeah, grass needs cut."
Okay, there are a couple things on this last 7 days report that I've actually purchased that we are going to be talking about next week. So sorry you had to miss it.
I don't have anything to say.
I'm busy editing Wikipedia right now.
Je peux.
So I'm going to pick something that's not one of these things. All right, I'm going to pick... I assume this wasn't you, Jeff.
No, I haven't bought anything recently.
Little boy's green frog rain boots, sizes 7, 8, 9, 10.
However, Max has plenty of green frog rain boots, so it could have been us.
These are...
Look at that! My edit's up on Wikipedia!
You did it!
I put the grass needs cut in front of babies like cuddling.
Perfect. Whoever made babies like cuddling needs to...
Actually, I...
babies like cutting, that's kind of morbid.
Well, little boys like green frog rain boots. And these are cute little boots that have little green
frogs. These are cute little boys.
These are very cute little boys. And they get two of them.
The FBI is now listening.
It's just a cartoon frog, and it's there for kids to get their boot on.
These are cute little boys and this cute little green frog, and they're get their boot on.
All right, so let's see. I'm going to go with... Can't talk about all Greg's awesome stuff. You know, as much as I would like to go with the very last one on the list, I'm going to go with The Outlaw, Josie Wales. It's Clint Eastwood movie from 1999? Really?
Yeah.
So we must have a cinephile, because this is not the first time we've had some oddball, mostly unknown of movie being purchased. Let's see. Well, so what is the quick review of The Outlaw, Josie Wales?
Oh, what I love about this, first of all, is let me point out that the person who purchased this not for the listing price, but they purchased this, I guess, for somehow. We can determine how much they purchased it for. They purchased it for 58 cents.
Oh, like an auction or a resale thing.
Okay. So Sounds like a good deal. Yeah, I'll move 58 cents. If you're wondering how much we get of that, 5.17% off of this one. Normally it's about 6%. We get 5.7%, so 3 cents. 3 cents goes into our coffers from that purchase. If you're wondering, no, that is not the lowest amount of money we've ever received. We have received a 1 cent.
All right. So, let's see.
I checked.
As the outlaw Josie Rails, four-time Academy Award winner, Clint Eastwood is ideally cast as a hard-hitting, fast-drawing loner, recalling his man with no name from his European westerns. But unlike the other mystic outlaw, Josie Wales has a name and a heart. After avenging his family's brutal murder, Wales is on the lam, pursued by a pack of killers. Where are killers pursuing him and not federal agents? He travels alone, but a ragtag group of outcasts, including Sandra Locke and Chief Dan George, is drawn to him. And Wales can't leave his motley surrogate family unprotected. Eastwood's skills behind and in front of the camera connected with the audience for its humor and tenderness as well as its hair trigger action. It gets good reviews. It gets 4.7 out of 5 stars.
So a good movie for 58 cents.
And it has 335 reviews. By far one of the best westerns ever made.
Wow.
Bill Fred Health at yahoo.com says.
Well, thanks, Bill Fred Health. Bill Fred? That's his name, Bill Fred?
Bill underscore Fred underscore Health at yahoo.com.
I wonder if he actually asked people to call him Bill Fred. Hey, Bill Fred.
Nice glasses.
Thank you.
May I go ahead with my pick?
Don't talk about the pattern that you see on there.
To make sure that
is it something that you ordered? No.
Oh, we already talked about that. Unfortunately.
Ah, damn it! I was gonna say
you can talk about it.
No. There's no. You're never wrong on this show. Yeah, we're friends here.
I was gonna say whoever ordered the TomTom, they haven't discovered smartphones yet.
No, we actually
GPSs are free now.
But think about it this way. Okay, let's say
I'll go and find.
Say you say driving is your livelihood. Like say you're a truck driver or a delivery guy or something. Does a smartphone work as good as a windshield mounted GPS
My
only?
My Droid DNA works just as good.
Do you have to pay
a
subscription for your Droid DNA?
I do not.
You get it free.
And I have 100%
free. You get data free?
It is a full HTC Google, and the Google Maps on here works brilliantly.
Now,
what if you're not connected to data? What if you have no internet connection?
That would be very bad, but when would I ever actually run out of
data?
Well,
that's the thing.
If you were a truck driver driving in the mountains of West Virginia, say.
Okay.
So, see, Don't worry. I had the same thought at first. Why don't they have a smartphone? But
Sorry, person who ordered TomTom.
No, there's still a market for standalone GPS units, which have all the maps loaded right on them.
There was something that caught my eye earlier, which is it not? It is not weird.
Look
at
this.
All,
he hates Apple, but he is already at home scrolling with two fingers.
You should have seen me. No, my PC scrolls with two fingers.
Oh, that's patent infringement right there, my friend.
And you should have seen it when he handed it to me. My hand turned red and started burning.
Yeah. He'll be fine, though. Should be in time for Monday for when we do D&D. Got to roll them dice, roll them bones.
You don't have to get out a death free card, do you?
Not anymore.
You almost died.
Clint Eastwood's best movie, an American classic. I'm going to have to check out Josie Wales.
All right. I'm going to choose this.
No.
Oh, is that you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you can't talk about those
things.
I just wanted to say.
And the other things that are just like that.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Next week.
Yeah, I think I ran out of great ideas for it. There was one that I saw that just made me laugh until I read the rest of the thing. And that was...
You can talk about the boxer briefs if you want.
Where is it? 5-4... No, that's not it? Whatever. Fall of Giants, book one of the Century trilogy. Okay.
I have no idea what sorry, it was a slow week. Sometimes it's lots of fun talking about
this. Yeah. Well, no, I gave him the quarter
got,
date.
So. Quarter date? 4 stars, so it seems pretty good. $8.99. I bet my Prime will give me a
here,
better deal.
Do a Q on 2013 and just pick something. How about that?
Do a Q on what?
Go to the top. Go to the very top.
Go to the top.
Change it from to January 1st.
No, just do Q1 2013. That'll give you several hundred things to pick
do
from.
That, yeah, Q1 2013.
Okay.
Display and while he's perusing his list, what's up?
I gotta do a secure thing.
I think that there's a D&D game I'm playing with somebody.
It's not working. I give up.
Damn apples. So hard to use.
They are. They're a pain in the ass. They're a pain in the arse.
Any news on the job front?
Oh, yeah. There's... I had 2 very good interviews this week. 2 okay. extremely good interviews that I suspect will be leading to something. So yeah, it's looking very much like within the next week or so.
Sweet. It's over. Awesome. Hopefully that works out for you. So what do you do with all this ghee that you buy?
I use it mostly for eggs.
Okay. Eggs? Yeah. Like how do you prepare? Like what do you
I use it to butter the pan.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was just curious. I mean, you're always buying ghee, organic grass-fed ghee.
It runs out. I mean...
Sure. I was just wondering what you used it for most, because, I mean, there's been, like, you know, once or maybe twice in the past year where I've needed ghee for an Indian dish, and I've made...
Well, if you're not using regular butter all the time, and I don't like using the macadamia nut oil for eggs, I think the ghee tastes better.
Okay.
So, whatever I do, eggs and... It's a good way. I mean, it's a very common breakfast. Is a couple eggs.
That's when you use bacon fat. That's what I use to keep my cast iron skillet in nice crispy shape. Right. Put some bacon fat on it. He did the search for you, so you can look through there if you want.
So no, I think that in this D&D campaign that I'm on. The DM is right
that
here.
That is a second edition, not fourth edition, which blew so much balls. But 3.5 is cool, and I'm excited to see about fifth edition.
We just recently found a character who I think...
Is gay?
Is a ganger.
Who?
Jack.
Oh, you think he's a doppelganger?
Yeah.
I don't know. Monday will tell.
Yeah.
Doppelgangers, for all of you out there that do not know, are basically changelings for the most part. Yeah. They can transform into anything they want.
That clears it up so much.
Well, we just recently ran into...
They can turn themselves into whatever they feel and basically take over their form, sound, shape, everything about it, every little detail. And for some reason, my doppelgangers always scream, "Resistance is futile!" I don't know why, but it's always fun to say. Especially in the weird Cockney kind of voice I give it.
We just ran into 2 earlier, so I think, and we just ran into somebody who...
Do you have characters of Cockney rhyming slang?
"Resistance is futile!"
Yeah, somebody they wouldn't say futile. They would say...
futile.
No, they would mobile. Find something that rhymes with it and then say a different word that relates to something
Resistance
that rhymes
with it. Is persistence.
Persistence is persistence, which is ultimately futile. Original metal slinky.
Oh, I bought that.
I was going to say, who just buys a slinky anymore? Come on. I know, you bring it to every D&D.
Yeah.
Everything I pick, you bought.
No,
100-sided die.
Yeah, if it's a dice, it's great.
If it's dice, it's mean.
If it's nerdy in any way.
That's not true.
No.
Who bought a Kindle Fire HD? Is anyone here?
Someone we really like.
Someone we really like, yeah.
Congratulations on your Kindle. Kindle is phenomenal. Do never, ever buy a Nook.
You could. I could have bought a Nook for like $25 at a yard sale last week.
Yeah, that's because that's all they're worth. Nooks are garbage because Barnes & Noble overprices everything. That's why.
They even in business. Didn't someone buy the Nook business?
No,
Barnes & Noble still has it.
No, they were looking to sell the Nooks business. Really?
I don't know. One of those big book companies went out of business, but Barnes & Noble is still okay.
Borders out of business. Yeah. That was a while ago, maybe 4 years ago.
I know Borders went out, but
Barnes & Noble is still in business. I still go down there and I peruse their shelves because they have a nice plethora of books. I find any means to use plethora.
El Laura Tica, I don't speak Spanish.
El Loro Tico Tango. The Spanish language edition of the Parrot Tico Tango.
Yep. Cool. That was a good one.
That's a good one.
All right, that's what we're going to go with. So whomever actually bought this, congratulations.
Correct use of the word whom.
Thank you.
So, yeah, on May 10th, Microsoft is set to buy Barnes & Noble's
Nook. Take that away from me.
So Microsoft might
buy it. Microsoft's buying it.
Might. Set to buy. That's what I heard.
Google will eventually buy it. Google's been buying everything.
And Barnes & Noble stock went up 22% with that rumor. So
I go to Barnes. They have really great sales.
You can hack your Nook and put Linux on it.
You can do that, yeah, but I don't know. Barnes & Noble has really great sales. They do. Like, if you get there when a book is just released, you'll get a better deal sometimes than even on Amazon. Because they'll mark it down almost half the price, sometimes more, just for the first week. But then they skyrocket it and, like, triple the price on what the book's worth. Like, Amazon, you'll get it for $9.99. You'll get it for probably $26. Almost triple the price. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Plus, I can't even
this
think
of this post-show is almost an hour and a half long already.
All right, we need to end this.
Well, no one's even listening anymore.
No, probably not. All right.
Bye, nobody.
Bye.
Bye.
If this was your first time listening, goodbye.
We didn't even get to talk about the... we didn't get to talk about Greg McGill and his Bogon's emails. Did you see that?
No. I didn't get a chance to really peruse that. But yeah, I saw the emails, but I didn't...
When we did the Skype with him, he was talking about how Bogons are different from rednecks. Bogon is... He's from New Zealand.
Okay.
And so... He showed me a video of a perfect Bogan, and he was actually doing a beer review, and it was pretty hilarious. But let's see. So think of a redneck, but with a Sons of Anarchy hoodie on, and instead of his frayed build baseball cap being farm equipment, it's auto performance, you know, like K&N filters type thing. And you're pretty good with what a New Zealand Bogan is instead of a redneck.
So it's their version. It's their version of a redneck.
No, they have rednecks too.
Oh, they do.
These are distinctly different groups. So
it's not like Trailer Park Boys.
It might be kind of like Trailer Park Boys. Not a term that I'm familiar with, but I could.
You've never seen Trailer Park Boys? It's a Canadian show.
No.
I've seen it. Yeah.
You Need to Live. Trailer Park Boys
have
is
you
incredible.
Seen Birdemic, Shock and Terror?
I Need to Live, apparently.
Yeah. There's a lot.
I don't watch much TV. I'm surprised I only know Trailer Park Boys because of YouTube, because it's not on American TV.
You know, Greg is going to get you Birdemic, Shock and Terror.
Yeah. I'll get you The Room. I'll get you everything.
No. Don't waste time with The Room.
Are you kidding me? The Room is much more culturally significant than Birdemic, Shock and Terror. Birdemic, Shock and Terror is a more fun movie to watch, I guess. But The Room is a culturally significant, terrible movie.
If you ever want to more purely waste 2 hours of your life that you'll never get back.
I don't want to waste that.
Room is the way to do that. There's no more pure way to wish to regret that time spent.
What about Human Centipede?
I'm sure Human Centipede has some legitimate qualities
no.
to
it. No.
Well, let's watch no. the room. We have to schedule a room watch. Okay.
Human Centipede, there's literally
this
a part...
This has gone on far too long.
Hold on.
There's literally a part where it looks like a 5-year-old drew this medical experiment Birdemic documentation of it where it's actually a smiley face with a mouth that's like pursing its lips going like this and an anus right next to it that just looks like a 5th grade right. child version of it. It's horrible.
Let's try to enlighten little Nick here with I don't know, the room or Birdemic. I got them both queued up. We could play him. We just give him 10 minutes of
No. Let's end this now.
Not on the show. After the show,
maybe.
What do you think? Which one do you want to expose him to?
Like I said, the room is more culturally significant. The room is the room is the one that needs to be seen. Birdemic is.
Yeah, but I don't want to waste that much time of my life showing Nick the room.
You want to waste it showing him Birdemic?
Yeah, I kind of do.
It's 1 in the morning. I got to work 10 hours tomorrow.
Oh, he has to work.
And that's an hour drive.
All right. Well, we're not going
to
keep
him. Yeah, you get to stay here, remember?
I didn't realize
we have an hour drive, 45 minutes.
I didn't realize it was so late. My clock says it's...
Well, that's because it's a Mac.
Well, it says 3 hours early because I was messing with time zone shit trying to repro something. So my computer's at the West Coast time right now. I'm on the West Coast.